This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, and welcome to all of you who are joining me today. This is episode 75, Ideas to Organize Your Homeschool. And it is time for two confessions here. I am not the most organized person in the world, as my next guest will attest to the fact. And this next guest is going to be very nice to her mom today as I welcome Christina Moss. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you for having me, and I will not say anything about your organization or
or lack thereof.
Oh, and that happy little voice in the introduction is Christina's husband, who really has a great voice. And when we were talking about the intro to the Vintage Homeschool Moms, I asked Billy if he would do it for me, and he doesn't say no to his mother-in-law very often, or he'll say... He is a good sport.
He is. He'll say, I love you, but no. But, yeah, so in case you've ever wondered who did that intro, it's Christina's wonderful husband, Bill. So, Christina, today I have you on the line for obvious reasons, and that is that you really did not inherit my lack of organization. You actually are very, very organized, and we've joked and said you really should start a business in organizing people's stuff because you enjoy doing it, don't you?
I do. I really do enjoy doing it. The other weekend, I was telling my husband that I wanted to organize something, but I couldn't really find anything to organize, and he kind of gave me a funny look that, yes, I wanted to organize, but every closet I looked into, I was pretty happy with where everything was.
you know you need to come over here and get started, right?
That's right. That's right. I should have just drove on over and picked a room over here.
I know, there's lots to choose from. Well, Christina was homeschooled kindergarten through 12th grade and went on to graduate from college with honors in 3 years. So we've been obviously very proud of our daughter. She's done an amazing job. And Christina was a dual major, communication and anthropology, or a minor in anthropology. I don't remember which, Christina. It was too many years ago. And she has 6 children, and do you want to give us the kids and their ages, please? I would give them to you, but I tend to forget.
Yeah, well, a couple of them had birthdays. Emma is my oldest. She just turned 9. Samantha will be 8 in May. William just turned 6 in January. Alexander is 4. Benjamin is 2.5, and Olivia is 7 months. So yeah. That's my group.
Yeah, that's your group. And so you are an amazing mommy. They're all downstairs as we are sharing this episode today with my youngest, Michael, babysitting. So if in any event the baby needs mommy, Michael has orders to bring Olivia to her mom.
Yes.
And we will either edit or not, depending on how that goes. But Christina, we're going to do homeschool organization and then home organization. And you asked if I could break it up into 2 sessions. So I thought that was a great idea. And this whole month has been on great ideas. So if you would like the show notes for this episode or more great ideas that I have discussed this month, just go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And this episode in particular is episode 76. And Christina said to me, you know, can I share some of the books that I was using this year? And we will share those in the show notes. So go over and look at that. If you're listening on a mobile device, it's on the website. So Okay, well, we're going to break up the session into several things, and the first is our stuff. You know, like where do we organize our books? And so you started out homeschooling. We were talking about this, you know, that you just started on a kitchen table, so to speak, until we got a little room for you off your garage. So, you know, Christina's husband is very handy and her dad's a contractor, so it does help to have people in the family that can do that.
Right. So we put up a wall in our garage. So half of the garage is now a room that is affectionately our schoolroom. And my husband has joked about doing different things with that room, and I'm adamantly opposed. We might have kids sleeping in that room at some point, but I will not move my schoolroom because I love that space. I like having the ability to put their projects on the walls and to have my school books organized and not feel like it's taking over my house or our living space. So it is really nice. Not that you have to have a room to do it, but it has just worked out really well, really well for us to do it.
So if somebody is schooling on the table, and we were laughing about that earlier too, because I do have a schoolroom upstairs, and we are currently schooling downstairs on our kitchen table because I need to organize upstairs.
So you need me to come over and organize?
Yes,
you?
I do. and so we did that. We actually did organize some of my shelves this summer, and we took all of the things that I was going to pass on to Christina, and that I'm putting a note here because that's something important to talk about a little bit later on. But so if somebody is using their table to school and they've got, you know, even one child or multi-children, what would you recommend for their stuff? And you were saying that sometimes you do even use your kitchen table, even though you do have an area where you can school,
right,
a little scissor in there. So tell us about that.
Yeah, what I did was I have a box that's on a bookshelf by our kitchen table, and I have some books in there. And part of why I started keeping things in the house, even though I promised myself I wouldn't because we had a schoolroom, was because I was sitting at the breakfast table and everybody was happily eating, and I thought, oh, wow, I got an undivided attention of all my children because we are all sitting here, and for the most part, they are happily eating. And so that's when I started doing some of our school during breakfast. And I did that last school year and this past school year, and it has worked out remarkably well. So what we usually do is we try to get done. We do a prayer. We do a Bible reading. We do some of our religion book. And then I usually, 2 days a week, will do science, and I will read that to them. And then the other 2 days a week, I will read history. So those books that I just mentioned usually stay in our basket. We also have coloring pages or activity worksheets that go along with either our science or our history that they will pull out after they're done with their breakfast. So I hope to keep them at the table for about an hour. And I encourage the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old to stay and listen as well, even if they're just coloring or flipping through another book. Just so that they get to hear the information, whether or not they're understanding everything. I like them to be able to sit and listen.
Right.
So that's why those
skill
books. Yes,
for them
and that's
to
why
learn,
those
yeah.
books are out there, and that's what we do for the first part of our day. And it's nice to feel like by 8:39, we've accomplished an hour worth of school, and we have gotten breakfast, and the little kids have had a chance to color. The older kids have had a chance to learn to take notes. So we've covered a lot of things in just that 1 hour of that breakfast time. So that has worked out really well for our homeschooling, and also made the dining room breakfast table actually an appealing place to do school because I have them all sitting there.
Right. And then, you know, I've heard of people who have kept bins for each of their kids, and then mm-hmm. you know, either putting them underneath an open coffee table if they have that in the living room, or even on a shelf where they can just pull that out and keep their stuff in there. And so, you know, I'd ask you about the kids' individual work. What do you do with that?
Do you want me to talk about how I broke up my day, or actually where they are storing their books?
No, just, well, let's stick to storing first, you know, like where,
okay. Because
where
their
you
books,
put their papers, yeah.
Yeah, their books, the actual history, or the, not necessarily the history book, but their actual math book and things that they do individually, we have a storage cart. And so each of my three oldest kids that are the ones doing school currently have a drawer in the cart, and so they keep their books there, and then all of the papers, like the papers that they've colored or the notes that they've taken, we have binders for each subject. So they're just three ring binders, and so once they're done with their paper, they punch holes in it and they stick it in their binder, and then those binders are kept on a shelf. So each of the girls has 4 or 5 binders. William, who's in kindergarten, has a few left because his things were easier to keep
right.
together. So that's how we've organized the actual workbooks and their papers, which is really nice because I've done files in the past, and it takes a lot more effort to go and sort a file folder full of papers, even if you've separated them out into either subjects or into like first part of the year, second part of the year. So I've been happy with this, which is what we did last year, where the binders.
Yeah, I like the binder idea too, and then that way you can just put them in as you're getting stuff done. Do you
right.
copy stuff ahead of time, or do you put them in as you go along?
I do a little bit of both. For the grammar program we used this year, there was a lot of worksheets, and I got the book that I was able to make copies from, which was a little bit more expensive but was cheaper than for me buying each of the kids a workbook, and that's how they organized this particular book. And so I went ahead and just made all of the copies, all like 300 pages, for the entire year. And so we did half a year, and then I put those papers in a file, and then we had the other half of the year because our binder was not actually big enough to hold all of our grammar.
I wonder why, right?
Yeah. So that's how that one went. Our history, I did the same thing. I had I had the papers all printed out. What's up, buddy? Okay, go find Michael.
So which one is this that came in?
This is Benjamin. He's 2.
Okay.
Say hi, Benny. Hi. Go find Michael. Michael, get you a treat.
Yes, we do bribe on occasion. He found Mom in Grandma's bedroom.
I reserve treats for aunts and uncles.
I know, right? Oh, gosh. And then at the end of the year, you pull out samples for their end-of-the-year portfolio report just
correct.
To pop, you know, yeah, to have. Okay, so, you know, interestingly, you know, Christina did mention that she used a program that allowed you to copy, and that's really important. There's been a lot of discussion, yeah, on our side of the world with, you know, our the publishers. I belong to several Facebook groups that have, you know, those of us that publish books for the homeschool community, and that is one of the things that has come up over and over again. And I will have a link to a video that was put together that explained a little bit about copyright and how important that is to honor copyright, because it does keep the smaller publishers in business for sure. So that's a good thing. And okay, So you went from, you know, just using a table to the room, and so you were telling me that, you know, you didn't start collecting until you had a schoolroom. So let's talk about that. You know, let's talk a little bit about what you have for the younger kids. This didn't start out as an audio interview about, you know, homeschooling multi-age children, but I thought you know, it would be good to include it here because mm-hmm. it is important. So if you have, a few kids like Christina does of different ages, I think you were asking me something the other day, and I looked at you and I said, gosh, I've never had that problem because, for example, math and science and history, mm-hmm. we did together because either Christina was pulled up to Neil's age, like when you homeschooled with your brother, and then I had my next three set of kids. Nick was really on his own because he's 3 years older than the next one. So really, Nicholas did his stuff was more on his level. I worked with him, and then I worked with the younger two. And right. now Mike is pulled up to Anne's grade. So I'm still really working. They either somewhere meet in the middle or the younger one gets pulled up to the older one's grade level. So,
right. And we do some of that.
That's easier. Yeah. But you can't do it for all of it. Like I couldn't do it with Nicholas. He's 5 years older than Michael, and that wouldn't have worked. So while the older ones are working, it's nice to have stuff for the little kids. So let's talk about that. You were telling me that you have some storage cubes that are in your school room that are just for school time for the little ones. So, like, what kinds of things do you have in there?
I have different bins. Some have counting bears. Some have pattern cards with shapes that they can either sort by color or put together different designs. We have lace-up cards. The boys right now, the four-year-old is really into the marker books with, like, the dry erase. My boys also like the puzzles and games. So those are in baskets in the cubes. So they can pick a basket or pick an activity, and that works out really well. And those things they only use while I'm teaching one of the older kids. So sorry, I had a whole bunch of kids just come in. Go play, Danny. Go play. But that's how we usually do it. And I have, I usually work with my kindergartner for about an hour in the morning. And while I'm doing that, the little boys are usually in the schoolroom with me so that I can keep an eye on them while I'm working with him. And we do pretty simple math writing and reading when I'm working with him for that hour. And then while I'm doing that, the girls have their own seat work to do that they are supposed to do on their own. And then I'll either work with them or we will take a break for lunch and then I'll work with them depending on the day and our schedule. So, but it's nice to have the little ones nearby so that they're not destroying a part of the house and you're not paying attention. At least you can look over and see them. But the boys do play really well together, so a lot of times they will just prefer to be playing with the little action figures or whatever they're doing at the time in their room. So it's nice
we'll get a little bit more into that because we're going to talk about scheduling, like an overall plan as well as a daily schedule, and you can share more about how you've broken that up then.
Right.
But we're going to So we're going to talk about your books. And I know that this summer, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, was you came over, and I was ready to get rid of things. I just wanted to get some things organized, and I don't know if I should share this or not. I guess I will. I was laughing about, some of the things. I'm trying to get Christina to write a book on organization, and she started to tell me some of the things she didn't like about some of the stuff she'd read or heard. And I said, yeah, I did that. I took everything out of the closet because that's one of the things that's recommended, and the stuff that didn't go back in the closet or on my shelves yet, and this is in my office, are on the floor. So my husband heard me saying that in the car to Christina. And he goes, oh, that's your new place for stuff is on the floor in your office. And as I sit here and record this, it's tax season, so I have boxes sorted out of, receipts and things that need to go. And I'm hoping after I get all my stuff to the accountant, CPA, that I am going to be able to close off some of the stuff and get it organized. Because it really, for me, it's hard to work in an area that's messy. So what I do is I avoid it and go into another room. I have plenty of room.
So you're almost your own worst enemy, right?
Yeah. But so that didn't work for me because I'm not done. But one of the things
well,
we did do
the
well.
Problem with, well, I think the problem with taking everything out is that you just need to have the time to be able to sort through it, to have bins or baskets or different ways to organize it available so that you can get it put away. And
yeah.
That's the problem is a lot of people will take everything out of the closet and spend so much time doing that that then they're almost burnt out by the time you get ready to organize it that they almost miss the fun part because they spent so much time and effort to get it out of the closet.
So we're
definitely different tactics.
That's where we're so different because I'm not seeing any fun part in any of this because I know it will look nice once it's done, but you will be proud of me because under my desk, because I have this big U-shaped, you know, contraption here, it's like a big office desk with a built-in shelf at the top and everything, and I have empty bins, and, you know, I love baskets, as Christina will attest to, so I
mm-hmm.
have really pretty leather baskets and bins and things like that, and they are empty, Christina. The problem
mm-hmm.
is, you know, just knowing what I want to keep and not, and you're right, I did run out of time because we were starting school, and the summer just sped by because your younger sister was involved in sports, and so
right.
All of that, you know,
and that's
all
what
of the
happens
games.
Is
yeah,
yeah, life happens, but
right.
And sometimes a better tactic is to just do I'm going to work on this one shelf or I'm going to work on this one pile, and then have your three. This is the stuff I'm going to keep. This is the stuff I'm going to donate or give away, and this is the stuff that is just no good to anybody, and I just need to throw it away. But you and I had talked
right.
about the other day of saying, well, sometimes it's hard to part with stuff that you've had for forever, or
right.
you remember how much you paid for it, and then we were also discussing how, you know, well, you're happy to part with your books when you're giving them to me or giving them to another homeschooling mom starting out, and sometimes that's, you know, if we can't use something, could somebody else use it? Could somebody else enjoy this or use it to its full potential? And that will help you also weed out things. Or am I using this
right.
now versus, oh, well, somebody can use it now as opposed to me needing it in 6 years when I finally have a high schooler or whatever. So I think that makes a big difference, too. Do I need it now or could somebody else benefit from it?
Yeah, and that's what we did. We went through the shelves, and you picked out the things that you were interested in, or I said, "Oh, this is a great book. You've got to consider this." I mean, I think
right.
there's like even in some grade levels, there might be like two different curriculums, and then at that point, you can decide. And I did have the room because I do have floor-to-ceiling shelves in the other room, so in our school room. So we put like the way at the bottom shelf, and then way at the top shelf is all your stuff to be. And one of the things we're going to do after this recording is you're going to look at some of the math curriculum that we have
right.
To compare what you're thinking about using for next year. So, you know, that's so right. I have a real hard time parting with things
mm-hmm.
unless I'm going to give it to somebody who I think, you know, will enjoy it. And I'm really happy that I have a daughter who's also homeschooling who, you know, can benefit from the stuff.
Well, and it's so neat to be able to come over here
yeah.
and just look at books and be able to hold them and feel them and say, you know, this is exactly what I was thinking it would be, or saying, oh, no, I looked at it online, but this is not what I wanted, which is a nice to be able to go to some of the homeschool conferences. Or I know a couple of really good friends that are so sweet that are so good about saying, oh, well, I have that curriculum. Why don't you just use mine? Or why don't you come over and take a look at it, take it home, see if it's what you want, and then, you know, go ahead and purchase your own. So it's just nice to be able to look at the books and to figure out if it's what you want to use or not.
Right. Okay.
Or
so
if it'll work with your child.
Yeah. So organizing books. So I have several shelves that are, you know, by different topics, and I have also, as you did, pulled out the stuff that I'm using for this year. So, you know, we did two sciences this year. Don't ask me why. Not a good call. Probably wouldn't do it again because I think we're going a little bit quicker than I would have liked to be just because of our schedule. But so we did that, and then also they have their math curriculum and a writing curriculum, and then some additional stuff like they've been studying for the SATs and things like that, and those are library books that we borrow where they can use some practice SAT work. And so I'm not going into the literature and, you know, all of those books and things like that, but the stuff that I'm using I have on another smaller shelf that's not on the bigger shelf. So it's just, I've already pulled it. It's what we're going to use. So when I need to find a book, like, okay, where's your next literature assignment? What book were you going to read? I can go to that shelf and pull it without having to wade through. So, so for you at your house, let's just take, as you were going through some of your other books, but let's just take science. So just go through how you've organized your science books.
Well, we did a physical science this year, so I kind of did the same thing as that you did and went through what books do I have that go along with the different topics that we're going to be studying, and we studied quite a few, and I went and pulled them. But I have two big bookshelves, actually three, plus a few small ones, plus a bookshelf here and there in my schoolroom, and so I have a general science shelf. And then I have a science shelf that has different things. Like I have one for astronomy, one for anatomy, one for oceanography. And so it's nice if we are, like we just did our last module on like ocean animals. And it was nice to be able to go to that oceanography and say, oh, what books would they enjoy reading themselves? What books would we enjoy reading together, what are good references, and to have it all right there as opposed to saying, oh, well, this is our science section of five shelves, and now I got to go hunt through to look for a book. I could go to one specific shelf, which is really nice when you're pressed for time and you just want to be able to go and pull them off. So it really made it a little bit more, the bookshelves a little bit more user-friendly. And I kind of did a similar thing with our history, broke it up into different time periods so that if I'm looking for something in particular, I can go to a shelf as opposed to several shelves or whatever.
Right. And, you know, that helps a lot if you, you know, have a lot of books or even if you're starting a book collection and it just is nice to be able to look at those and pull them out or even have a place for your library books. I know one year I was really upset at how much we were paying in fines because we were not returning all our books. When they got to the house, the kids were really excited and they'd take it into their rooms and it would sit on, you know, fall in the crack under a bed. I think when we moved out all of Mike's stuff one year to paint his room. Yeah, we found the book that we paid $25 for. I don't know why the library fee is always so much more than the real book is. But, you know, it was all mangled and had gotten stuck under, you know, his bed frame. But so what we started doing was, again, coming upstairs, finding a place for it, and then if the kids had like a specific book that they were reading, they could take the one book into their room and then had to bring it back and get the other. And even just today I asked Dan, you know, don't you have SAT books to return? Like I can't remember anything, but like those kinds of things get stuck in my head because I know when they took the test 2 weeks ago, so it should be time for that book to go back. And they take them out on their cards and they're responsible for their own fees.
Right. And see, we keep our library books in the living room, even if they are school-related, just because in a basket so that they don't get mixed with our school books. And so it works out pretty well for the most part that if they want to look at a library book, they can sit on the couch. Occasionally I'll let my older girls, if they've gotten a novel to read, they can bring that into their room. But otherwise, or to the kitchen table or to the schoolroom table, but then it goes back to the basket.
Right.
So that we don't have any missing library books, because that is no fun for anyone.
Right, it sure isn't. Well, we're going to just take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with ways to organize your curriculum as well as your daily schedule.
This is Fletch and Kendra from Homeschooling in Real Life. Over at Homeschooling IRL, we have one rule: keep it real. And we love to tell it like it is and venture into those corners of homeschooling that people love to ignore.
Hearing Felice and her daughter discuss organization, especially when they see things from different perspectives and have different approaches, now that's real life. Keep listening to Vintage Homeschool Moms, and when the show is over, come give us a listen at homeschoolingirl.com.
I'm a publisher, and one day my daughter Christina asked me to write a novel with her. Well, that day was long ago, and that little girl is now an adult. But our novels live on. The Truth Seekers Mystery Series highlights a homeschool family, the Murphy Team, in an action-adventure novel that is sure to entertain as well as teach creation truths. To get your copy, visit our website at TruthSeekersMysterySeries.com.
Hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 75, Ideas to Organize Your Homeschool. And with me today is a very special guest, that little girl who is all grown up and wrote the Two Seekers Mystery Series with me. I thought it would be fun to play the commercial while Christina was on the line. And she's all grown up with six little ones of her own. And she is the organizational expert in our family. It must have skipped a generation. Certainly did not get it from me. And so when I came up with this topic, I said to Christina, you have got to help me out here. And she does. She's awesome. And it's bailing me out. You know, like, why did I pick this topic, Christina? But
you picked
it
because you want to be organized. And I think you want everything to have a home. It just doesn't always happen.
I do. Well, the truth is that when you walk into my house, the first room that you see is a really nice, neat first impression. And I don't really keep a lot of things in it's like the formal living room, which is purposely almost too small for our entire family to sit in there. Actually, that's where we go in the evening and do our evening prayers as a family. Because it is always nice and neat, and you know, there's not anything laying around that looks messy. And you know, something you said to me is so true, Christina, and that is, you know, everything needs a home, and I really think that's true.
Yes, my girls will come home if we've gotten something new for them or for their room in particular, and they'll be like, "Where's your home gonna be?" And I'm just smiling. I'm like so proud, and everything needs a home. And I think sometimes too, people don't realize when they're organizing that sometimes it takes a little bit. Like I'll organize a closet and put, you know, like organize my boys' closet and put their action figures in this bin, and the bin is either way too big or way too small. So I'll watch them pick up and put their things away, and they're having a hard time because if they don't put something in a certain way, it doesn't fit. And so things like that, you almost are setting your kids up for failure to pick up when if things don't go in a certain way into this basket, they're not going to fit, or the basket's too big for the spot, and, you know, so they have to push really hard to put it away. Well, they're going to be less likely to put it away. And so sometimes I feel like you just have to go through a couple of containers to say, oh, no, this one works great, and to take that time to look at it and go, this isn't working, or this is working, you know, this is fitting exactly how I had envisioned, which it doesn't always. So I think that sometimes can make you frustrated with organizing when you just have to use it and see if it's a good spot for it, and sometimes
Right. And we are going to record a session on
organizing your home. Right, I guess I got ahead of myself.
So we will, I know. Well, we already had talked about that because I was hoping to cram everything into this session. But as usual, Christina was right that we needed two different sessions, so we wouldn't
we
be jumping around.
Our
yes, I know. I need to have you go through my talks and organize it. It's amazing because I content edit as part of my living, something I really do enjoy doing. And in writing, I'm a lot more organized than I am,
yes.
you know, in the other part of my life. I can take a manuscript and move it around and
yes.
put it in the right order and fine-tune it and get fluff out. But when it comes
yeah.
to...
Yeah, well, having you read my yeah. read my stuff, I was always impressed. I was like, yeah, that's how I wanted it. It just didn't get onto the paper in that order.
I know. How can I now take that part of me that is organized and move it to the other stuff? I think part of it, too, is you have to really want it. Like you said, you know, oh, I know deep down you do. And I think, you know, a lot of it for me is time. How much
mm-hmm.
time do I have to dedicate to something like that? And, you know, both you and Billy like doing that, you know, so
yes.
it really is something, you know, that you happen to marry somebody who also is very neat and organized, and that helps a lot. So, you know, let's talk about curriculum. So you are looking at the year, and you have done this for me because I will look at a book and just say, okay, we're going to wing it and see how far we get.
Oh, well, yeah.
So what is one of the things that you've helped me with? Let's just take, for example, we'll go to the younger kids in a minute on the overview. But, like, if I have a math curriculum that I'm going to use or a history curriculum, what is one of the first things we do?
We like to pull out a calendar, and I actually really enjoy this. And I have offered it to several of my friends that have homeschooled, and I've yet for somebody to take me up on the offer. But I love planning people's year in their curriculum. I don't think my siblings enjoyed me planning it as much as I felt like I enjoyed planning my high school year.
Well, your mother enjoys it. So.
Yes, so I guess what they don't enjoy, at least you do. But I like to get a calendar out, and then we like to figure out what weeks you're going to homeschool, what weeks you're planning to take a break for holidays. I know life comes up, but it's nice to at least have a game plan. Like for my homeschooling in particular, I like to homeschool during the summer. We live in Florida. You can only be in the pool for so many hours a day, and it's just hot outside. So I really enjoy taking a lot of the summer months that are just really warm and spending that time working on our schoolwork so that when it's a little bit cooler here, like during December, that we're able to take off that time and do Christmas projects and make homemade gifts and make cookies and be able to share those with our neighbors and friends and be able to go to the nursing home and spend time with those people. So I really enjoy starting my year a little bit different. And so obviously I will plan and schedule a little bit different. I know one year you started a little bit later just because it
was
how it fit into your schedule. Yeah,
yeah,
and so it's nice to be able to do that. So what I usually do is take a look at either the lesson or the chapter, and then I try to be as realistic as possible. How long do you want to be doing this subject? If your science chapter is 20 pages and you have allotted only half an hour for that a day, you're probably not going to read the whole chapter in one day. So
mm-hmm.
you need to break that chapter up and say, okay, well, I'm going to read it for Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to read it 2 days a week, and then I'm going to take notes and do either a workbook page or some kind of extra work, whichever goes with your science. Or you can say, oh, I'm going to read it on Monday and Wednesday and then take the 2 days in between to take notes or read and study the information that you read the day before. So it's kind of, there's so much you can do, but it's taking the time to sit down and look at what the lesson looks like, how many pages, how hard is it to read, and then how long do we have per day or per week to get that done. And I liked the flexibility when I was in school to say, or when I was in high school, that I would plan it as, well, I have to read this chapter. I have to read one chapter a week to be able to get through, you know, to get through the year, to get done with the book at the end of the year. So then I would say, okay, well, if I had a little bit less to do one day, I would just go ahead and sit down and take that 2 hours to read my chapter so that it was done, so that I had time for other things. But it just depends on what kind of student you are and how you like to teach. And if it's easier for you to digest a little bit of information at a time, then it's worth your while to do like a little bit each day. And then a lot of the math books are pretty easy, where you do a lesson a day, and if you do a test, you don't have to take a you don't have to do a lesson. But some math books don't give you that time. So if you're on a strict schedule of, you know, I want to be done by this time, having, you know, one test a week can make you be a whole month behind if you hadn't, you know, if you didn't take those tests into consideration to how many tests you have plus how many lessons you have, and make sure, you know, that divides evenly into how many days you want to school. And so no kid wants to get to June or even May or June, you know, and then realize that they have another 30 lessons because, you know, they needed to do a test and a lesson. And I think that the nice part about homeschooling is that you do have the flexibility to say, no, we're just going to do a test because, you know, that's what's best for my kid, as opposed to having the demands of having it all fit into, you know, somebody else's plan. And that's part of why I like to put my own curriculum together, as opposed to using, you know, a curriculum that's already put in, because I like to have the flexibility to do what is best for my kids, but also what works best for our family, and then take the curriculum into consideration in those regards.
Right.
Did that answer the question, or was that?
Yeah, it did. No, it did. It did. And I just want to add, if you're listening to this and you're a new homeschool mom, you know, don't stress it. I had people who came to my booth, and I sold unit studies, and I would turn them away if after talking to them they were real hesitant or weren't sure, you know, exactly what they were going to do for some of their other subjects. And I would say, you know, come back in a year or so, and, you know, then this, because this is, in my stuff is more of a hands-on. That was before I had, like, the audio classes and some other things that I've since put together to make it easier. But, you know, unit studies are a lot of hands-on, and Christina, we both like still to this day using unit studies because we can pull in so many things. But I've homeschooled for forever, and, you know, you've homeschooled since, what, Emma was 4, and she's 9 now, so, you know, 5 years. And so, you know, get some years under your belt, or 1 year, and then go from there, you know, at least get your
feet
wet.
I also think it depends on your personality and your kid's personality.
Right.
And because I did the unit studies for the first couple of years, and then 2 years ago I switched to doing curriculum, and I was actually surprised with how much my kids knew in some of the science curriculums that I was going to use. I had to use older grades because we actually covered a lot of this stuff in our unit study, and I didn't even realize how much we covered until I tried to go to a textbook, and then I said, oh, well, we already know all this. So it actually made me feel good in retrospect to know that we had covered so much without realizing it. And I really liked all the curriculums that I used this past year. But ironically enough, I don't think that I'm going to use most of them, because I think we're just in a different place with me having a lot of little kids, that I think we're going to go back to doing the unit study approach, because I really want to involve my 4-year-old, who doesn't really care for school. And I also want to have them be able to have a little bit more flexibility with what we study, but then still all be on the same page, as opposed to having a curriculum in which it's telling us what to study, but then having them do their own work. I'm afraid that I'll have too many people going in too many different directions.
Right.
So I'm hoping that the unit study will give us the opportunity to have a lot of hands-on that'll include and excite my little kids, but then we'll be able to pull a lot of that information and then expound on it with my older kids.
And then you also had a baby last year, so that was one of the reasons that, you know, you planned around that time as well, and you don't feel that great when you are pregnant. And so, you know, you took that into consideration too. And, you know, I hope those of you listening will, you know, hear this and say, okay, well, it doesn't have to be the same way all the time. I completely hated this year. I can, you know, redo some of the things for next year that I will not, you know, duplicate. Like I'm telling you, we will not do two sciences next year. I'll tell you that right now. And
Well, I just think it's so funny that I loved everything I did last year, but I'm not doing it this next year.
Right.
And I also really want to, it's just so funny because, and I think what I'm going to do is take a year off from a couple of books and then go back to them just because I think that as much as I enjoyed them with my kids this year, I think it's nice that the books are for an age range and I'll be able to happily do them in 2 years or even in 3 years if I wanted to, because my kids will still be able to, you know, get a lot of good things from those different curriculums. So, like I said, you just have to do what you think is going to work best for everybody, and it changes from year to year and sometimes in 6 months.
Yeah. Well, that's why I loved you said that one of the things you were going to do is a timeline for this year so that you could, you know, even go back and add some of the things that you had studied in the past for history.
Right. Yeah. And we've done, we did ancient history this past year, which I really, really enjoyed. And I think the girls and even my older boys really enjoyed as well. But I felt like they had a little bit of a hard time figuring out the ancient history because the year before that we had done a ton of American history. And so, you know, they were like, well, where's George Washington? And I said, George Washington isn't around yet. Neither is America. So I think the timeline, I'm really excited about that because I think that'll really help them visually be able to take these historical figures that they know their names, they know what they did, but to be able to put them in time as well as know about them. And I think that that'll be a lot of fun, and I'm excited about being able to continue reading biographies and then also doing some unit studies that have to do with different historical times or even historical figures, and then being able to take that information and include it in our timeline. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, very good. Okay, and then daily schedule. You know, how do you come up with a daily schedule? And my next question would be how strictly do you adhere to that? You know, I know that you said you did history 2 days a week and you did science 2 days a week. And I remember when you guys were younger, my other three were younger, we left Friday for a day to catch up with our stuff, also a day to play games, which was always fun. And that was like one of the last things I think left this house. And there's plenty more. And that's some of the educational games that you guys that I've had. I don't even know if you played some of them. I think you remembered, but some of them were fairly new.
Right. Yeah, I do love to leave Friday as a little bit of a catch-up day. I realized, though, when I was planning our math, that if I did not have that extra day, it was going to set us back longer than I wanted to. So they still do a math lesson on Friday, and I still have them do some reading and writing. I don't plan any history or science because we either will try to do an activity or an experiment that goes along with something we've learned about if we didn't get it done during the week. So it is nice to be able to, that goes back to planning your year, to be able to say, you know, because you don't want to take off that Friday and have a great day and then end up paying for it at the end of the year, because nothing's worse than, you know, being done with everything else and not done with one subject or something like that happening. So exactly. So it is nice to have that year at a glance so that you know where you are. I also, as planning my day, I've kind of gone through and replanned it a couple of ways just because some of it was working really well and some of it wasn't working really well. And I ended up with a schedule number one and a schedule number two, and my husband was laughing at me because he's like, can you not do anything without a schedule and writing it down and having it all organized on a pretty sheet? And that's just how I like to do things. I try to be realistic. It's, you know, the schedules are nice. It's nice to know about when we should be doing things, but it is the perfect day and nothing runs as the perfect day because otherwise you wouldn't have blowout diapers and people that need to go potty 15 times and people that go stick their feet in the mud while we're supposed to be in the house and all the other things that happen during life because, you know, it's fun when it rains and everybody's got to go outside and play. But I kind of like to try to give myself big chunks of time. So my schedule number one and my schedule number two ended up being if we did some exercising in the morning. And so that set us back a little bit of time because we were taking time to exercise, and my girls have gotten into liking a lot of the Pilates exercises and things like that. So I was excited to have somebody to exercise with. And since I didn't get out to run or do anything that as much as I wanted to, I thought, well, at least a little bit of exercise would be good. And I had a baby, you know, a little bit more than 6 months ago, so I felt like I was ready to do something. So they're really cute about exercising with me. So on those days, our schedule gets pushed back by half an hour to 45 minutes between exercise and a shower and things like that. But I still, they usually do like a simple breakfast by themselves, and then we jump into school and they'll do just their coloring page. And then I usually read through the same thing. So they're sitting there actually at the table for a bit longer than I'm actually at the table with them. And then we have a break. And I got this idea from somebody else, and she said she planned her chores for a set amount of time, and then whatever time they had left over was their break time, which she called free time. Which my kids love. So now my 4-year-old asks, you know, this is his free time. And I'm thinking to myself, your whole day is your free time. Sure, buddy, it can be your free time. But that was brilliant because it took a lot of the complaining about doing your morning chores and saying, oh, well, you can sit here and talk to me about them. But you're just taking your hour break and making it a 5 or 10 minute break. So the first day they took 45 minutes to do their chores. And I mean, some of them are personal hygiene chores, like get dressed, make your bed, brush your teeth. And then some of them are my girls rotate doing the breakfast dishes and vacuuming our main living room carpet and things like that. So they have some slightly bigger chores, but then some quite easy ones. And so the first day, they took quite a while to do them, and they got to see how long they took because the timer was on. And then the second day, I think they took 15 minutes to get their chores done. Even though it seemed like we were adding more time to our schedule, we were getting a little bit of break, and it left me time to be able to help the boys do their chores because I wasn't rushing around to get my things done in the morning, like starting laundry and things like that.
Right.
Because I had some extra time built in there too. And so like the other day I was in their room reading them books in the morning, which never happens because usually I'm telling people to do their chores and kind of trying to rush through it so that we can start our other school. So it's been a nice balance to actually add in that free time, which you would think would make you take longer at your work, and it actually made everything run a little bit more smoothly. But I don't know if you want me to run through the rest of our day really quick after
we
do.
Why don't you do that? Because that will give them an idea of how you schedule, you know, more than just an overview. That's
okay.
Great.
So we do our breakfast. We do, you know, whether or not we do our exercising before that. And then I usually try to do those 3 times a week. And our school, our morning school, which is our science, our history, our religion, our prayers, the kids really like to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I also do, which I think I forgot to mention before, I do some memory work. Our kids learned a lot of really fun things, the Gettysburg Address, the presidents, 2 years ago. And so I wanted to keep up with that, and I didn't do as much as I wanted to, but we've done not fun things like memorize the prepositions and adverbs and helping verbs and like I said, not fun things like that. But it really works well in the long run to have them the times tables and things like that. So we usually just try to run through one of those in that morning section of school. Then we do our morning chores with our free time, and that's our new addition. And then after that, the girls will usually sit at the breakfast table or on our kitchen counter. We have a couple of bar stools. And they will read any kind of novel that they're supposed to be reading for school. They will do any of their math that they can do on their own. So if there's not a new concept or anything like that, then they can do their math. And they're supposed to do some kind of writing. I organize their writing as Mondays they do a journal entry. Tuesdays they write something about either the history or the science that we're learning about, anything that they thought was really interesting. And then I go through and I check their spelling, and then they get some spelling words from their writing. And then Wednesday they do another journal entry and they write spelling words. Thursday they rewrite their paper that they wrote on Tuesday. And then Friday we're supposed to take our spelling test. So we kind of try to get some good writing in there with some free writing. Emma likes to work on a fiction story, so I'll let her get on Fridays or whenever she has some free time in the afternoon and write on the computer because that's always fun. So she's writing The Adventures in China or something along those lines. So that's been fun for her. And then, so while the girls are doing their math writing and reading, I will work with William. And then that's when my little boys are playing in the school room, hopefully quietly. And then the baby's usually on my lap or sitting with the other little boys. And then William and I will work on his reading. We'll do some math pages. We'll do some handwriting activities. He's just turned 6, and he's my really go-with-the-flow child. So he's a lot of fun to teach. And if we get done quickly, I let him pick any book he wants me to read, which is usually Star Wars related. And so I'll do like a little bit of book reading with him and kind of just a little bit of one-on-one time with him. And then depending on where we are with time, I'll either try to work with the girls or we'll take a lunch break. And then I'll work with the girls. And it depends on how happy the baby is and all those extenuating circumstances that you can't you can't ever truly plan for as much as I try to. And then the girls and I usually do our language arts and our grammar. And then I'll help them with whatever math problems that they had that they didn't either know how to do or that they just got stumped with. And then we'll do, if we're going to do some kind of science experiment or history project, they really enjoy the lap books. So we've done a couple of history lap books. We've tried not to do too many because usually we love the lap books until the end of the lap book, and then we're happy to be done with the lap book for a little while. But they do enjoy aspects of that and getting to cut and paste and color, and they always look nice, and it's a fun way to keep track of what we've learned and things like that. So we'll do some kind of project like that at the end of the at the end of our day. And then we've added afternoon chores, which are usually slightly more cleaning related to you know, like the morning chores, which is more just picking up and cleaning up. And so they'll do some of those chores. And then kind of the same thing applies is that they get their free time when their chores are done. And that's been really nice to let them know that that they can do their chores. They can have their free time when their chores are done. And we do have, like, we pick up and clean up before lunch and things like that as well, so that we don't end up having the boys' room be a disaster because they've taken out every toy they own, plus the school room, plus the living room. And I feel like a lot of times when you let it get so bad, it just gets overwhelming for them and for you. So it's
right.
really nice
it
to
does.
Be able to take, you know, like we clean up, you know, one of their morning chores is to pick up their room. So if they were up early and playing in their room, we've already cleaned it up once before we've even started, you know, some of
but
our
you
school.
Go back and check a lot, because I used to do that with even you guys and just say, you know, go clean up. And then I was upset when I found that you didn't clean up. So
right.
you do police a lot.
And it's nice to have slightly older kids. Emma is a little bit too much like her grandmother, so I will go look at the boys' room or go look at her room, and she's like, oh, it's mostly picked up, and I'll go in there, and it will be better than it was, but
good enough.
It won't be exactly, and that's exactly what she'll say. It was good enough, you know. So Samantha's a little bit more my attention to detail with child, so I'll ask her, and we correct with love, so she's not allowed to yell, their room is a disaster. I've had to stop saying that your room looks like a hurricane went through it because they started yelling that, and it didn't sound as nice coming out of their mouth as I thought it, you know, it did with me. So, so she'll go and check sometimes and say, oh, well, you know, like this morning she said it needs a little bit of work. It's not as good as it normally looks. So they trooped back in there to pick it up. But it is nice that when your things have a home that they know where they're supposed to be. And one time I went and organized the boys' closet, and they were like, the basket is gone for my action figures. Like, you know, it could not go anywhere but in the one basket where they had been putting them away. So I try really hard to, when I move things, I encourage them to either help me if we're paring down or, you know, giving to those that have less. And they've gotten really good about wanting to, oh, well, I have two of these. You know, we should give it to somebody else that doesn't have anything and things like that. And I really think that that makes such a difference. One of my friends was saying that her kids have a really hard time, and I think that it just depends on the kids' personalities, but I think it also depends on how you word it, and it's not, oh, you know, you have too much stuff, because in their eyes, it's never too much stuff.
Right.
Well, but it's nice
and that's
to
the
be
thing
able to.
I want to add, and we'll probably talk more about this when we talk about home organization, and that is that you bought over a bunch of stuffed animals because I'm such a wonderful mother that I have space upstairs, and I gave your kids that space to bring their stuff that, you know, they just couldn't part with. And so, because I do have some extra room here. So
right.
when they decide they want to bring something home, you ask them to trade it out. Like they can bring some things home if they bring whatever it is that they're going to trade out here. And then you
right.
also have them look through it at Christmas time and say, okay, what have you not played with that you're willing to give, you know, to some other little boy and girl that's like a gently used toy. I think for the
right.
most part, stuffed animals. You know, we had some really nice ones that we had gotten years ago, and, you know, they're still in great shape. And so one of your children in particular, Sammy, just loves them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, so that I thought that was a really good thing that you did.
Yeah, and we haven't been that we have stuffed animals in, and so it is nice that when they look at that and they can see that the lid's not snapping on like it used to, that, you know, maybe we've, you know, need to take a few to grandma's and things like that. And it's nice for them to look forward to having some special toys over here. And that's not always an option if you don't live close to family.
But you have done. It doesn't feel like it's crowded when you're over there. It feels like organized. I always laugh at how decorative her shelves look. And actually, my office is in your old bedroom, Christina, as
right.
you know. And, you know, and whenever I would come in here, she would not only have them, like, her book color coordinated, but, you know, some are on the side, some are on the, you know, upright. And it looked beautiful as well as neat.
Well, when you were talking about organizing your shelves, and I was saying that I had a shelf for all of our, you know, books on zoology or something like that. And if you just haven't accumulated or don't have a mother that has a ton of books and you just don't have as many, it is a really good way to organize, to stand some up of one kind and then lay it down. So if you just had one shelf or one section of a shelf for your science books, you could have your general science book, you know, standing up, and then have your, you know, if you have a big, you know, your kids are really into dinosaurs and you have a lot of dinosaur books, those could be, you know, stacked, you know, a different way. And that really is nice because it helps your books to not seem like they're falling over if you don't have a ton of stuff on your shelf. But it also helps you to quickly go and which stack am I looking through. So that's a really nice way to organize if you really want to have,
That's great.
You know, the shelf broken up too.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we are out of time, and the little ones have been remarkably good being in the other room. I can hear them here, so I don't know. This audio normally is really good, so it doesn't pick up a lot of the background noise. But I think a little bit ago that was Olivia screaming, which is amazing. A 7-month-old or 8-month-old can be so loud that she can.
I don't know if it was her because Emma brought her to me just now. And so,
So she was good.
But she wasn't crying by the time she got to me. So
she wasn't crying. She was just like loudly proclaiming her existence down there. But
I remembered what other thing I wanted to say.
Okay, sure.
Just about getting, because I was trying to read our science book or history book the other day, and she was doing this really loud screaming, and I thought, oh no, I don't need one more person to try to have to read over. But we started getting audiobooks at the library, and I really, really loved those. And it is so nice because I can have two hands to hold the baby or to get lunch ready for the kids and for us all to be sitting there and getting to listen to to some kind of book. And we've done a lot of the classics, and so fun to be able to sit there and enjoy it with them but not have the stress of trying to hold the baby and hold the book and talk over her. We can just pause it if somebody got loud.
And you can make all the points you want to make about it, you know.
Exactly, and I don't think it takes
secular.
The place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it doesn't take the place of reading to your kids or anything like that. But I've been so happy to be able to have them hear all these books that I've been dying to read to them, and it just hasn't been able to fit into our school. So, you know, other people might be able to use the library like
that
as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get it free here where we live, so hopefully you can there too. Well, thank you so much, Christina. I really appreciate your time, and I know this is longer than we had planned, but you have so much good information, as usual. You talk
I was,
as much
I was
as your
a little
mother.
Long-winded, sorry.
No, I love it. If this was live, you would be getting a standing ovation, I'm telling you, because there's so much great stuff here. And I appreciate you, you know, pulling away from the little ones and helping me out here with this. And we will do another audio, and go ahead and leave your comments in the post here where this audio resides. And, you know, you can also access this via iTunes as well as the website at Vintage Homeschool Mom. Again, this is episode number 75, where the show notes will reside with some links and some additional recommendations, which I'm sure Christina will provide. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.